But I'm not gonna let them catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the Midnight Rider.
Chris,
yeah! Take that, Taylor Swift. I do it live. Tuesday morning. That's right, a little 5 hour midnight ride. We got you till 5 a.m. on the fan. Paulie Rosenberg on the other side. There he is, celebrating a championship. He loves his hockey. They have crowned the champion. Congratulations, I suppose, to the Florida Panthers. He's all excited. I could see it in there. No, you're not. You're not happy. You're happy.
No, because I need a championship before I die. No, I'm not happy
well,
right
just
now.
Pretend you're a Panthers fan. It's very easy.
I'm not a Panthers fan.
Yeah, sure you are. You're a hockey fan. Nobody knows hockey like you on the station.
Absolutely.
So you must
right.
know the Panthers inside and out.
I do.
Well, then you're their fan.
Hold
Congratulations
please.
To the great Paul Rosenberg celebrating a championship. Diehard Florida Panther fan. Very excited for him. Fuegelman is still on the other side. We're taking your phone calls. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. So we'll get to that. We'll get to the Knicks. We'll do a lot. We got plenty to get to over the course of 5 hours. We'll have some fun as well. But, of course, it's the Subway Series. So let's start there. Mets, Yankees, Yankees, Mets. Tonight. Yes, tonight. I got confused there for a second. Tonight, it starts. And, yes, there'll be some players missing. No Stanton. No Diaz, who got the 10-game suspension. I don't know. They haven't said. I guess he hasn't decided whether he's going to appeal it. I don't think there's ever been a successful appeal. They took his glove. I don't know how. I mean, there's no evidence. I don't know how they could appeal it. And furthermore, let's be totally honest. As much as I'm going to tell you that this particular Subway Series is about as important as they can come in June, ultimately, for Edwin Diaz, why bother prolonging this? The Yankee games, while are important in the Subway Series, we're going to have some fun with. They got games against the division later on, right? They got to play Washington after Houston. Then they play Pittsburgh. Those games are more important to the New York Mets and where they stand inside this NL playoffs than against the New York Yankees. So there'd be no point in trying to appeal this. Let's just serve the suspension. No stand, like I said. You just heard Marte on the IL with bone inflammation. That's a new one. I've never heard of bone inflammation, but I saw that he's going to just sit down and do nothing for about 2 weeks. So I would imagine you're looking at a month before Marte, and we'll get to that in the Mets specifically on how they handle that moving forward. But as we look at this Subway Series and we try to figure out what's the importance level, are we psyched up for it, are we pumped for it, is there juice to the Subway Series? And I would say right now, I know 2 years ago both teams were great, right? Both teams were having big-time regular seasons. The Mets had went how long without losing a series to start the year. The Yankees actually had a better record than they do today, even with what I would still tell you is a worse team than they have today. But they were off to that incredible start. And the Subway Series had some juice to it. And you can go through years where they don't have juice. They do. But heading into these two games here, where I think the idea that Cole starts it for the New York Yankees, I would tell you, as much as I look at this Met team, and they're surging, and very rarely. And again, the Subway Series is one of those things, in the moment, it's a big deal. In the moment, we have fun with it, right? You tell your friend, you get on your buddy, you guys trash talk, or whomever, Ted in accounting, as I like to always say, that guy's a wild card, that Ted. But you always get on Ted in accounting, or whatever, you have a little fun with it, but ultimately it fades. But right now, I don't remember the last time a Subway Series happened where both teams were just going in opposite directions, and it's the Mets. And this, I'm not trying to be condescending as a Yankee fan, but I can't remember the last time where both teams are trending in such opposite directions, and it's the Mets that are heading skyrocketing through the sky, even without Diaz, and it's going to be an issue as they're down a man in the bullpen. They lose a roster spot. He's obviously their closer. Their bullpen has been kind of, you know, getting better over the last few weeks, as everything has gotten better over the last few weeks. But still, in no position, you know, they're dealing with injuries in Reed Foley, you know, and they're going to have to try to accommodate that. And starting pitching, getting deep into the games is what's going to help them, hopefully. But they are just absolutely on fire while the Yankees are falling apart. And this Yankee team, whenever I think of the Subway Series, I go back to the beginning, as most people do. Right? I go back to the first, the Dave Malicki game, the beginning of it, the novelty of it. And I tend to think of, as much as I downplay his importance and different things, I tend to think of George Steinbrenner, how he handled these Subway Series and how important it was to him to win these games. And how maybe Derek Jeter would tell you in his documentary that, you know, we viewed the Mets as just the Mets. It's never just the Mets for the New York Yankees. So while the New York Yankees are struggling, while the New York Yankees have now lost three consecutive series, while the New York Yankees, while still having the best record in the American League, by the way, picking up half a game so far, picking up half a game tonight, we'll get into that as well, because you won't believe who the Orioles lost to. You won't believe it. It makes no sense. So we'll get to that as well. But as they're struggling and as they're facing this stretch where they're being questioned on what kind of team they actually have, Brian Cashman and the front office is being questioned on what kind of team they really put forward. The depth of this team is now going to come into question without Stanton, who is one of their most fearsome hitters this year, no question about it, as he gets hurt rounding the bases yet again and is going to miss God knows how long. But as this team and the fan base that is frustrated with it for not winning over the last 15 years and will hearken back to previous adorations of the team, specifically 2 years ago with a great first half, and then watch the team fold and fade. And as the bullpen has completely fallen apart, as the lineup has gone quiet here and now you've lost Stanton, as the team is in their worst stretch of the season, to face the Mets, to face a struggling Met team, and to add that debacle in what would clearly be a pitching matchup favor for the New York Yankees, where tonight we have Cole versus Peterson, tomorrow Luis Gil versus Manaea. If the Yankees lose both of these games to the New York Mets, forget the idea that we can't constantly talk about whether a team is good or bad or whether they're contenders and whether the Yankees compete. That's been the main talking point about the New York Yankees. They don't be good teams. So it's not only that they're playing poorly. It's not just that, Chris. It's not that they're just going through a stretch. It's that they've faced better competition. They faced better. That's what's really happening here. They're no longer able to pound on the Cleveland Guardians or the Kansas City Royals or the Minnesota Twins or whomever else you deem not worthy of facing the New York Yankees. It's that they're playing Baltimore. It's that they're playing Boston. It's that they're playing Atlanta. And that's really what's come here. They've been outed as a really bad team and nothing like the team we saw for the first 2 months. And if you add the New York Mets, and this is what Met fans would have to really... You know, this is your moment if you are a Tommy Lugauer, and I reference him because I've never met someone in my life, and I got the opportunity and the great opportunity because I love Tommy, even though we bust each other's shoes, part of the nature of working together. I've never met a Met fan who relished in beating the Yankees as much as Tommy Lugauer, who would rather beat them than the Washington Nationals or the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are coming up, who are clearly more important games. You want to beat the New York Yankees. And if you are that kind of Met fan who relishes this, if you are the kind of Met fan who still will get pride in these two games if they take this series at Citi Field, if you are the kind of Met fan looking for it, I don't know if there's ever been an opportunity to send the New York Yankees into a tailspin, into a tizzy, to actually get one over on this fan base as the Mets are surging, playing their best ball, right? As this offense has awoken, as Lindor and Nimmo and J.D. Martinez, not J.D. Davis, but J.D. Martinez, has revived this team, whether it's the meeting, whether it's Grimace. There is nothing but good feels. I just saw Sal Licata apologize to Grimace. Right now, there is nothing but good feels around this New York Met team as they're muddled up in the middle of a wild card race that, honestly, in my humble opinion, I deem almost every other team they're involved with in this race inferior to them if the Mets play their brand of baseball that they've played the last 2 weeks. I don't know if other teams are capable of playing the kind of baseball the Mets have played over the last 2 weeks. And if you look at what they've done in the rotation and to have Severino, although he was purposely skipped for these two games, but to have a former Yankee like Severino give you the performance on Sunday Night Baseball, to have all of it playing the way they're playing, surging, coming all the way back, and to reach the very important mark of 500 on the backs of the New York Yankees, while they are coming off three consecutive series losses, and if you can stick it to them and go beat Gerrit Cole, the savior returning to come back and help this Yankee season, and then if you can beat the young phenom that others on this radio station have compared to Dwight Gooden, who's this young rookie phenom, this young pitching phenom, which is, as much as the Yankees have done the winning around here, the young pitching and the talented pitching and the Cy Youngs reside in Queens throughout history of these two franchises. And if you can continue and now just no longer make it, hey, Luis Hill had one bad start. If the Mets take it to Luis Hill and put up a bunch of runs on him, now the Yankees and their fan base are questioning whether they still have a young ace-like starting pitcher to put at the top of a rotation of a playoff series. If they take it to Gerrit Cole, well, I mean, I don't think anyone would necessarily question Gerrit Cole's ability, but ultimately, well, I mean, how long will it take the rust to knock off? How long before he's throwing 100 pitches? Can the Yankees sustain it? If they shut down this offense again with left-handed pitching, like Peterson and Manaea, well, now this team can't hit left-handed pitching. They've tried to add the likes of J.D. Davis. That's clearly not going to help. D.J. LeMahieu is a shell of himself. There is an opportunity here, despite the fact that we have fun with it, then we feel like it's overplayed, whatever the case may be, right now in the moment, this Yankee team is at a crossroads. And despite the fact they've been helped out by the Baltimore Orioles losing four in a row, it feels like this season is a little bit, as much as they're 24 games over 500 in first place, who this Yankee team is and how they're going to go about playing until the trade deadline, where there is nothing to do until then, could take a serious hit if the New York Mets step in and answer a bunch of questions that Yankees and the Yankee fans are curious about their team. And if it's more mediocre, let's be honest, because listen, Peterson's solid, but I think even Met fan would have to admit mediocre is a fair term for him. Manaea's had an up and down season. If average left-handed pitching from this hot New York Met team take on the New York Yankees, shut them down, this offense that's exploded over the last 2 weeks, been one of the most dynamic and potent offenses in Major League Baseball, step in and beat up Cole, beat up Luis Hill, beat up this Yankee bullpen, dare I say, get to Clay Holmes and this closer who every Yankee fan is ready to jump all over. This Yankee team, this Yankee season, and the feeling from the Yankee fans could absolutely be set off in a tizzy. So Met fans, if you are the type of Met fan looking to apply some pressure, now it can go the other way a little bit. Right now you don't want to halt this momentum the Mets have built. You don't want to lose two games to the Yankees, who are clearly scuffling. And of course, it's important to them. They're in the middle of a playoff race where the Yankees are clearly, you know, a bunch of games out in front of at least the wild card. And we can have that argument about the division versus the wild card in today's new format and the way they go about, you know, scheduling these playoffs of Major League Baseball and whether the importance of winning the division versus being a wild card. And of course, yes, the Yankees are in better standing. And yes, ultimately, you would feel the Yankees will right the ship. And they'll figure out a way, and they're better off. And clearly the Mets are surging, and like I said, they're better than most of the teams they're playing, and they have the Nationals, and they have Pittsburgh coming up. But I think this series actually has some juice. And I view it, and fairly so, from a Yankee fan standpoint, and someone who's been battling Yankee fans who think it's doomsday in 2022 all over again. There's an opportunity here for you Met fans who love to stick it to the Yankees to really put a dagger in the current situation of the New York Yankees. Does it put a death knell in the season? Of course not. Does it make you feel the Yankees will miss the postseason? No. But it will put a real question on what kind of team this is, because losing to the Mets, as well as losing to these past three series, as well as losing Stanton, and now maybe a Luis Gil problem and a starting rotation problem to go along with a bullpen problem, and no real answers till the trade deadline, if even then, considering how many teams are still in it. The entire National League is still, you can pretty much remove them from any hope of being involved in a trade right now, with all of them being, besides what, Colorado and Miami? Other than that, everybody is still alive in some way, shape, or form. They're a month to change that, but who knows? And it just feels like right now, this Yankee team is teetering on the self-confidence of, could they be the team that they were at the start of the year, or are they destined to be the team of 2022, who ultimately, yeah, won some games, yes, the offense was carried by another historic performance from Aaron Judge, and yes, Juan Soto has been added to the team, but ultimately, completely flawed, another failed attempt from Brian Cashman to build a World Series caliber offense and team, and the Mets, who are playing much better baseball, head into this series with an opportunity to come out feeling like the better team in this city resides in Queens. And I can't remember the last time it's felt that way. So let's talk about it. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Like I said, we will get to the Stanley Cup Finals. The Florida Panthers avoid disaster, avoid history. And in my mind, and I'll tell you why, something the New York Rangers should be happy about. That's right, Ranger fans. You should be happy that the Florida Panthers did not blow a three-game lead, did not have one of the more historic losses in all of professional sports, and found a way to win a Game 7 and secure their first ever Stanley Cup championship. That's right, Ranger fans. Be happy about it. So we'll get to that. We got plenty of Knicks stuff as OG Anunoby declined his player option. He's a free agent. What should the Knicks do there? We got the draft coming up. They have two first-round picks. A lot to get to. 4.5 hours or so to do it.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Yeah. All right. 12:25 on this Tuesday morning. Getting ready for the Subway Series. Be a lot more fun to react to it. Looking forward to the game. Should be fun. Listening to Howie Rose all day made me obviously think of it. You know, New York, obviously 50 years. Congratulations to Howie. What an incredible career. And, you know, New York sports, I was listening to today. I heard a little bit of his show. I was driving home, and then I was doing something with the kids. So I heard a little bit. I heard a little bit more of him with Evan and Tiki. And, you know, they were playing all these old highlights, and Evan was playing the one of him and Mike at the bar outside of Madison Square Garden the night the Rangers won the cup. And so 50 years of New York sports broadcasting for Howie Rose. It makes you think about this stuff, like the Mets and Yankees. Obviously, unfortunately, Willie Mays in the news recently passing away. His connection to New York sports. I had that whole debate on Willie, Mickey and the Duke and everything. And just New York baseball and New York sports, how intertwined they are. And for me, this will always be a baseball city. You might be able to provide me with numbers that say otherwise. I know football is king. No one's doubting that. But for me, this is a baseball town. And so to hear Howie all day today was really nice. And I have a little personal sound bit that I wanted to play for you. That I have a connection with Howie Rose. I don't think he's aware of it. I doubt very much he remembers it. But this goes all the way back to 2007, at the beginning of my career here at WFAN as a part-timer, working the board for Steve Summers in evenings during the week. And honored to, so obviously we started when I started in 2007, we did the Met games. Obviously, for many, many years, we were the Met station here at the Fan. I remember getting a kick. This is how, you know, naive is not, probably not the right word, but when you're first getting started, you get a kick out of things like this. By the time I was 6 years in, I was like, is the game over yet? But at the time, we did Tom Glavine's 300th game. I was on the board for it, and I remember thinking, hey, I was running the board for Tom Glavine's 300th
game. That was a Sunday night game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a Sunday night game. I was like, oh, I was running the board for Tom Glavine's. Get all hyped up about that. And so always, when you're first starting, whenever you get introduced by these legends. I mean, everyone knows Howie Rose. Everyone knows John Sterling. Everyone knows. So to be named and part of the broadcast was always such a cool part of when you first started to get your name out there. Just that, you know, Howie Rose said my name, or at least tried to.
New York Mets Baseball is a production of Sports Radio 66 WFAN in conjunction with the New York Mets. The coordinating producer is Melissa Schack. The executive producer is Dove Kramer. Studio operations handled by the team of Greg Giannotti, Bill Gannon, Rick Bonacorsi, and Chris McGonagall. That is his name, right? Well, nice job, Chris.
Yeah, that's the name, Howie. Chris McGonagall. I always got a kick out of that. So obviously I saved it. That was from April of 2007. Threw a little Greg Giannotti in there. You hear that? Greg Giannotti running the board for the Met game. That's right.
Not bad, for, meanwhile, that behind-the-scenes duo. Because you
bad.
Have the morning show
That's
host
true.
And the overnight host.
To think about that, yeah, that day, the morning show host and now the overnight host both running the board. For some random Met game in April, 2007.
Chris McGonagall.
That's his name, right? Good job, Chris. He actually goes on and says my name a couple more times, but it's like a minute and a half long. I don't want to waste all of your time. You got the gist. But yeah, so that was the first time Howie Rose ever said my name. And maybe I'll pull out the Russo one. That's even better. The first time Russo tried to say my name. I'll have to pull that one out. It's not related to
the
today
The difference
necessarily.
Is, unlike Howie, Dog probably doesn't get it right after the set on the second try.
Not only, it's not so much that the right or the wrong, it's the remorse or the, I don't know about remorse, but the willingness to attempt to get it right. That's the difference. Russo did not really care about getting it right. At least Howie would like to eventually get it correct.
I was filling in for you on Mike's show when he announced that you had your first kid and gave the congrats message and butchered it. And Monzo goes, save that. We got to send it to Chris.
Both birth announcements from Mike were actually rather famous. Because if you remember, when that one, he mispronounced the name, which he said McGonagall all the time. We know. But for the birth announcement for my second son, Andrew... it was during the time period of him coming back, and CMB was on before him, and then it was Mike, and I was working for both shows. I was running the board for both shows. So I was off, obviously, and whoever they had filling in for me wasn't as adept at switching, running around, making, you know, transitioning from show to show, and there was a little bit of a hiccup, I guess, between the shows. And Mike gave the quick birth announcement and then complained about how long I was going to be out and paternity in general. And the station's cheap and can't afford to, you know, replace me with somebody because I guess Monzo was trying to do it or whatever. I don't know. So, and it actually made the post. Mike Francesa turns birth announcement into outrage about stations' money and paternity policies. I was like, great.
I do remember that, too, because I was overnight by that point, but I was not a fan of the person who was responsible for that error.
I don't even remember. Yeah, I don't know.
But I'll tell you in the next break.
Yeah, tell me during the next break. But that made the post, and my wife was not thrilled. This is the birth announcement? This is the birth announcement? Like, what do you want me to tell you? Our son barely a day old. His name's in the newspaper.
McGonagall. McGonagall.
Oh, you got to love him. 888-808-1019. All right, let's get to the baseball calls. Subway Series. And look, I understand it's a series in June. But right now, with the way the Yankees are tumbling and the way the Mets are rising, I obviously one team is 20-some-odd games over 500. The other one's trying to reach 500. But the sentiment of Yankee fans and the feel of this team and the way we went into the season just a ferocious group of Yankee fans dying for something, and then we got it for the first 2 months, and now to watch it fade and slip, and everyone worried about whether or not they can beat good teams, whether or not this team's going to hold out, whether or not this, you know, bullpen can hold, you know, hopefully Luis Gil isn't, you know, coming back to earth. All of those things can have another exclamation point put on them by this surging New York Mets team, who without question is playing better than the Yankees, whose lineup is definitely top to bottom, even without Marte, And we'll see what the corresponding move is for Marte, who's probably not going to do anything for isn't going to do anything for 2 weeks. And you would think, what does that mean? 3 weeks before he's playing at the bare minimum? So they're going to have to figure out who's going to be playing right field, how they're going to do that, if they're going to call anybody up. Obviously they'll call somebody up, but will it be Beatty? Could you see another prospect? Could you see Acuna be brought up? Will you see Jeff McNeil in right field and Iglesias at second base? There's a lot of questions on how the Mets will go forward with the Marte injury, and obviously no Diaz in the bullpen, but still, right now playing excellent baseball and have an opportunity to step on the Yankees while they're down, and at a level I don't know if I ever remember. Matt in Long Island, what's up, Matt?
Hey, Chris, what's going on? Nice to hear my call.
What's up, buddy? Thank you for making it. How you doing?
Going to go to the Mets. I'm a Mets fan going on here. I think, listen, you nailed it. The Yankees are 28 games above 500. Floundering a little bit, but the Mets series in June. Trying to get back in a few games out of the wild card thing.
Yes.
Mets are playing good. I like how they're playing. I think they're getting good guys. Everybody's taking strides forward, like Quintana, struggling. Severino, great outing yesterday.
Yep.
You're getting stuff, production from Lindor, J.D. Martinez. And I think the Mets got to keep this going. I mean, Edwin Diaz, this takes a huge loss.
I blame Major League Baseball. I blame Edwin Diaz. I blame everybody. I mean, it's just a dumb situation. But he can't go out there.
Yeah,
he's got to make sure his hands aren't that sticky. But it is dumb.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Yankees. You throw Cole in the mound tomorrow. We're throwing two lefties for the next two games.
Right.
It's going to be a strict Yankees. I mean, if the Max Fried the other day for Steve Peterson, but I mean, it's going to be a good series. And this is a series. I mean. It's a big stretch in the Mets, I'm just saying, overall, man. You got against the Yankees and Astros, 5-game homestand, and how can you attack this and get over 500, really? Or just get back to where they're playing good?
Yeah, I mean, no, listen, I understand. And I understand. Look, if you want to look at it, I'm taking the angle of where these two teams are going and how it could hurt them. And as much as, yes, the Yankees are clearly in a far better position in the standings, as someone has alerted me that after beating Baltimore last night, which again, I'm very curious how the Cleveland Guardians beat the Baltimore Orioles. I don't know how it happened last night. I'm very, very curious because, and as someone has alerted me, because of that win, now Cleveland, by percentage points, has the best record in the American League, which is, I mean, ridiculous because we all know anyone in the American League Central sucks. And should not be taken seriously, nor considered a successful or any sort of accomplishment at all in beating them, because it's easy. So that's why I'm just absolutely befuddled at the idea that Cleveland could beat the Baltimore Orioles. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. The Orioles are so vastly superior. And, I mean, you can't take anyone in the NL in the AL Central seriously. I mean, sure, they have now the best record in the American League, but really, I mean, against who? The likes of the two other playoff teams from that division, the Kansas City Royals and the Minnesota Twins? I mean, is that who they built this record upon? And yet somehow, I don't know, what did they make their flight to Cleveland? What happened exactly that Baltimore was able to lose this game? It's very puzzling to me. I'm not sure exactly what happened because, again, the American League Central pretty much doesn't exist. So I'm really, I don't know what happened. Hopefully everyone's all right with the Orioles, because I certainly don't want to root for injuries or anything like that. I don't know if they had like a stomach bug ripped through the team. I'm not sure what happened, because I can't explain how they would lose to Cleveland. But we'll have to, I'll look into it during the break and see exactly what happened. But as much as the Yankees are now the second-best team in the American League, record-wise, and have now picked up a game and a half since they finished losing 2 out of 3 to Baltimore, they've picked up a game and a half in the standings over them. Sure, they're in better standing. Sure, they have much less worry of making the playoffs than the Mets do. But just in this moment of time, because honestly, I feel pretty good about the Mets' playoff chances. Because I look at the other teams in the middle of that wild card race, and I don't see anyone who I think is better than the New York Mets. Now, the Mets might play terribly again. The Mets might go back to being who they were a month ago, and that doesn't matter who's in the wild card race. They're not going to make it. But I do believe this team has turned a corner. I do believe there's something to this team. And I do think this offense, as long as it's even close to what it's been over the last 2 weeks, is good enough to make the playoffs. And at this moment in time, while they're surging, sure, you don't want to lose two games to the Yankees, of course. And then you follow it up with a Houston team who just took care of the Baltimore Orioles. I'll leave out all my sarcasm. But after they just beat the Orioles a couple, you know, three straight, maybe they're turning around. They are the team of the decade, let's be honest, the Astros, and they've owned the American League. So is there a chance they're getting hot and rounding into shape just in time to make a playoff run? Oh, you bet your ass it's possible. So you got the Yankees and you got Houston for a little homestand where, although they had a great homestand just in their most recent homestand, the Mets haven't played that well at home this year. So to now play the Yankees, play Houston, albeit, you know, American League teams and not as important as the two series following, you don't want to lose these series and stop all your momentum. It's important to continue. So I think it's, you can easily make the case that this series is more important for the Mets. I just think, because of the fact they're playing so well, because of the fact the pitching matchups do favor the New York Yankees, because they move Severino to make sure they won the Cub game, and because there's other more important games coming, and because over the last 2 weeks the Mets have played excellent baseball, I don't think the Yankees can hurt the Mets as much as the Mets can hurt the Yankees. Where they're coming from, yes, completely different places. One's coming up from up here, 24 games over 500, second best record in the American League by percentage points, and the other one's two games under 500, working their way back, busting their ass just to get back to 500. So yeah, they're in different starting places, but ultimately, if the Yankees win these two games, it's disappointment for the Mets, no doubt. No doubt. And it stops their momentum briefly, and now they got to go play a Houston team. Absolutely. They might drop a game in the standings inside the wild card. Absolutely. It will be a tough loss. But it won't feel like they've completely stopped. Or, you know, I don't think it will kill their momentum completely. We would see if it does, but I wouldn't think so. I would think the Mets would be able to kind of just chalk it up to losing two games to two good starting pitchers, would be my thought. Where the Mets coming in beating Cole, beating Cole and beating Hill are the two things that make it different for me. This isn't Severino. Right? And I just think that despite where they are in the standings, I just don't think it would hurt the fans as much or hurt the team as much momentum-wise, where if you lose Cole and you lose Luis Gil, now you've got Rodon starting the next game, like against Toronto, who's been terrible. But now you go right into a divisional opponent on the road who's trying to figure out their own season. Like, I just feel like the Mets could really stick it to the Yankees right now. And I don't know how often that's been. I don't know how often it's been where the Mets really have an opportunity to really make the Yankees question who they are. Reese and Manalapan. What's up, Reese?
Hey, Chris. I just wanted to make a couple points about the Stanley Cup final.
Yes.
So I don't think it's an exaggeration to say this might have been the most hyped up game that the NHL has seen, at least in the last probably 50 years. And it lived up to everything, but you had so many crazy, crazy storylines going into this game 7. I mean, no one coming back from 3-0 in a final.
Yeah.
McDavid.
Well, it was since 1942 or something, right, with Toronto.
Something like that. Yeah. Like, it's a crazy stat. And on top of that, you have McDavid, who's like the face of just Canadian hockey. He plays for the Oilers. He's like the next generation of the guy in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Tkachuk and, like, Barkov, these guys from, like, other countries.
And the coach, Paul Maurice, you know, having this long career trying to finally culminate it with a championship. Florida's first ever championship. Yeah, obviously a lot into it. And I will say, let me say this about the McDavid. Obviously, McDavid then now wins the playoff MVP, Conn Smythe Trophy. The first time a loser has won it since 2003, and I believe that was a goalie. And so this is the first time a skater has won the Conn Smythe on a losing team since 1976 with the Flyers. I appreciate how good he's been. I hate it. I don't know why. I know there's been other times, you know, we've seen World Series MVPs, right, from losing teams back in the day. I understand it's not the Stanley Cup Finals MVP. It's the playoff MVP. But ultimately, I don't know. I have a real problem with it because how would he... I'm wondering how he feels celebrating or getting that trophy. Maybe years down the line he'll appreciate it, but right now I'm sure he wants to throw that thing out the window. Like I don't think, like I would much rather give it to a winner. I don't know. I have a real. It seems like a downer. It seems like you're handing it to a guy who's going to go skate away with his tail between his legs, and you know who cares what happens to that trophy? Where like you could give it to someone who just won the Stanley Cup and be part of the celebration. You add it to it. Like I don't like the idea that it could go to a losing player.
Here's my opinion on it, and this is where I honestly do disagree, is because you have big events like the World Cup. You look back at 2014, Messi won the award as best player on a losing Argentina team that lost to Germany in the final.
This is not the World Cup, man. This is a playoffs. This is a Stanley Cup Finals that happens every year. Like I understand it was Game 7 and all the hype built into it, as you said before, and you're right. I'm not trying to deny what you're saying. I don't know if I would say it's the biggest in 50 years because of it, but I get your point. It is a huge game against two very good teams, play two different styles of hockey, kind of big names in it, 3-0, all of it. I agree with you. Big, big game last night. But
this is why
this isn't like the whole the entire globe comes together for a tournament every 4 years. Like this is they'll have another one next year.
No, not on the scale. Yeah, definitely not on the scale. But it's one of those where Connor McDavid is looked at as the guy where it's like he won't ever get the day of light to even be said in the same name as Gretzky. But if he had won a cup for the Oilers in this fashion, coming back down 3-0, first time in 30 years with the effort he put in, especially to get him even back in the series in the finals with the back-to-back four-point games, it's like, you're never going to forget that as a diehard hockey fan.
No,
you never will.
I know, but what you just said didn't happen, and we will forget it because he lost. And I'm not trying to knock him. He's great. He's been unbelievable. He's been one of, if not the best player in hockey for a few years now. What he's a magician with the puck. What he did to bring his team back, 100%, 100%. And he played so much in the third period. I was looking at some of the numbers. Unfortunately, I had to drive. I was listening to it a little on the radio. Thankfully, I took my wife's car. She has the XM Sirius radio, so I was listening to it a little bit in the car on the radio, but. I was hoping to get here early enough to watch the third period, but then kids, you know. So unfortunately, I missed the third period. I saw about the first period, and then I saw 5 minutes into the second period before I had to leave. So unfortunately, I didn't see the whole game. But looking at it, I saw the ice time in the third period. McDavid and that line played a ton of time trying to get that last goal. I appreciate everything he did. He's a brilliant player, and on all merit, he's entitled to the award, no doubt, but I hate giving it to a loser. And make no mistake, he lost. He's a loser. Now, I mean, that sounds strong when you say it about what's such a great player, but today, unfortunately, the Panthers are the winners and the Oilers are the losers. And I hate giving the trophy because honestly, knowing me, like, can you imagine? I know we always bring Kobe Bryant up as the most mind, you know, the, you know, Black Mamba mentality and all that. Can you imagine Kobe Bryant accepting a MVP trophy after losing the NBA Finals? Can you imagine Michael Jordan accepting an MVP trophy after losing the NBA Finals? Like, can you imagine Derek Jeter accepting a World Series MVP trophy after losing the World Series? Why? I wouldn't want it. Like, so I'm thinking of it. It's a recognition for everybody else but him. I like to give awards where people will treasure it. And maybe down the line he will. And maybe his kids will and whatever else. I'm not saying there's no merit to it. But in the moment, you might as well have, you know, handed him a foot long. Like, honestly, you could have handed him anything. I just can't imagine he's all that excited to get MVP of the Stanley Cup playoffs after he just got his heart ripped out. I'd rather have it go to someone who's going to celebrate it, who's going to enjoy it. Because you can't tell, I mean, you can't tell me that no Florida Panther deserved the award. Maybe he deserved it more, but you can't tell me there's not a Panther who did not deserve the Conn Smythe. I'd much rather have it go to a winner. And that goes for any MVP. And I understand, again, this is uniquely different because it's a playoff MVP, not the Stanley Cup MVP. But having said that, it's still pretty, you know, it's not never been heard of before, but it's been 21 years since the last time it happened. So it's not a typical thing. But ultimately, let me just do it now then real quick. Why I believe winning the Florida Panthers winning the Stanley Cup, and I said this the other day, but I'm going to reintroduce it to you. I think this is good for the New York Rangers. If you're a New York Ranger fan, hell, if you're a New York Islander fan, hell, if you're a New Jersey Devil fan. Why I think this is good. One, for the Rangers specifically. Growing up, I always felt this way. I've kind of, as I've grown bitter, because when I was young, the Yankees won all the time, and if they lost, I could say that, hey, they lost to the team that won the championship and get some sort of relief from that. Hey, what are you going to do? We lost to the best team. As you get bitter, as the losses pile up, that starts to fade. And now I get hatred for the team. Like, I'm never going to go, hey, you know, at least the Astros, oh, good, the Astros win the World Series. I'm happy because at least we could say we lost to the champion. No, I despise them. So I've grown out of it a little bit. But for those of you who do feel that way, at least the Rangers can say, hey, look, you lost to the team that was best suited to win this thing, and they almost blow it, but this is not horseshoes or hand grenades. Almost doesn't count. They won the Stanley Cup. The New York Rangers lost to the best team in hockey. What are you going to do? But more importantly than that, famously, this team 2 years ago won the President's Trophy, had the best record in hockey, lost in the playoffs, and felt they needed a dynamic change. Right? And they bring in Tkachuk, they make moves, they change who they are fundamentally on some ways. And they reattack it with an absolute passion and play like their hair is on fire, even last year getting to the Stanley Cup Finals, and play like a team on a mission. That's how the Florida Panthers have looked to me over the last two Stanley Cup playoffs. Can't speak so much to the regular season. Didn't watch a ton of Panthers hockey. First one to raise my hand, sorry. But over these last two playoffs, watching playoff hockey, I felt like this Florida Panthers team has looked like a team on a mission. A team that's, you know, is out there with every fiber of their being to win a championship, even more than some others. And I'm sure all other teams on some level. But it just felt like this Panthers team traded specifically to get the kind of team that would play with their hair on fire and play like it was a mission, play like their life depended on winning a Stanley Cup Finals. And last year, they obviously fall short. And I'm telling you right now, as much as back-to-back long runs to the Stanley Cup Finals, back-to-back, you know, long playoff runs, and what Islander fans might remember, it felt like the year after going back-to-back to the conference finals hurt the Islanders the next year. So as much as that might have eventually caught them, just caught their legs, the long hockey season, they're back in what, September? I mean, it's a quick turnaround for a Stanley Cup champion and a Stanley Cup Finals loser as well. But if this team would have lost this, if this Florida Panther team would have blown a 3-0 lead and lost the Stanley Cup Finals, I firmly believe that the mission would have continued at a fever pitch. I would have rather have had, as they clearly are the best team in the NHL and clearly the best team in the Eastern Conference, I want them to finally accomplish this mission so they can relax a bit. And if you would have put the fire to them by losing in historic fashion and blowing a 3-0 lead, you would have only reinforced that sort of drive that they've shown you and been a force inside the Eastern Conference. Now, it doesn't mean they won't be better than the Rangers next year. It won't mean they won't get back and or win the championship next year. But on some level, I would rather have the team just finally get it out of the way as opposed to being this team that looks desperate to do it. Because you can't be as desperate once you have it. It's just fundamentally impossible. They still might be good enough. We've seen repeat champions. Tampa Bay just did it. And as much as we talk about, you know, Boston being title city lately, when we're complaining about how many championships they win, I mean, how many championships does the state of Florida have recently? But I'm glad they won. I'm glad they can call themselves champions. I'm glad maybe they'll pull a Washington Capitals and go absolutely nuts with the trophy. Maybe they'll pull an Ovechkin and get drunk everywhere and have an off season to have all off seasons and get all nice, happy, and fat and not care about next year, as opposed to being the team that has to recover from blowing a 3-game-to-none lead. Instead of being the team that has to justify how good they are after an historic loss. So as a Ranger fan, I'll be honest with you, as much as I would have taken some joy out of watching the team that sent the Rangers home absolutely choke away a championship, as much as I would have laughed at all those sons of you-know-whats who sent us home, outplayed us, out-toughed us, didn't give Panarin any space, send Tkachuk home, send Bobrovsky home, knowing that they choked away the biggest lead and the only team to do it in 80 years and embarrass themselves, as much as I would have chuckled and laughed and maybe had a thought of them as I sip my next martini, ultimately, I want them not to have this same level of drive they've had over the last 2 years. And hopefully that happens. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. We'll come back, continue to take your phone calls. 1 hour down. 4 more to go. That's right. 1 plus 4 is 5. 5-hour midnight ride as I take it till 5 a.m. A lot of fives going on. We'll talk more about the Stanley Cup Finals if you want. Again, I'm sorry. I did miss the third period, but we can still talk about the game as they avoid disaster, and I feel they gave the Conn Smythe to the wrong player. Obviously, the Subway Series is always on tap here, as we'll have a couple games to react to, finally, over the next 2 days. But we will get to the Knicks as well. OG Anunoby declines his player option, becomes a free agent. What should the Knicks do? And I'll tell you this right now. I want OG Anunoby back, but there is one set of circumstances where I really will question whether or not they should bring OG back. There's one thing in particular I don't think you can do as well as bring OG Anunoby back.